That is how it came about that some 2 hours after his escape from the gate, Bilbo was sitting beside a warm fire in front of a large tent, and there sat two gazing curiously at him, both the Elfin King and Bard. A hobbit in elvish armour, partly wrapped in an old blanket, was something new to them. "Really, you know," Bilbo was saying in his best business manner, "things are impossible. Personally, I am tired of the whole affair. I wish I was back in the West in my own home, where folk are more reasonable. But I have an interest in this matter, 1/14th share to be precise, according to a letter which fortunately I believe I have kept." He drew from a pocket in his old jacket, which he still wore over his mail, crumpled and much folded, Thorin's letter that had been put under the clock on his mantelpiece in May. "A share in the profits, mind you," he went on. "I am aware of that. Personally, I am only too ready to consider all your claims carefully, and deduct what is right from the total before putting in my own claim. However, you don't know Thorin Oakenshield as well as I do now. I assure you, he is quite ready to sit on a heap of gold and starve as long as you will sit here." "Well, let him," said Bard. "Such a fool deserves to starve." "Quite so," said Bilbo. "I see your point of view. At the same time, winter is coming on fast. Before long, you will be having snow and whatnot, and supplies will be difficult, even for elves, I imagine. Also, there will be other difficulties. You have not heard of Dane and the dwarves of the Iron Hills?" "We have, a long time ago. But what has he got to do with us?" asked the king. "I thought as much. I see, I have some information you have not got. Dane, I may tell you, is now less than 2 days' march off, and has at least 500 grim dwarves with him. A good many of them have had experience in the dreadful dwarf and goblin wars, of which you have no doubt heard of. When they arrive, there may be serious trouble. Why do you tell us this? Are you betraying your friends, or are you threatening us?" asked Bard grimly. "My dear Bard," squeaked Bilbo, "don't be so hasty. I never met such suspicious folk. I am merely trying to avoid trouble for all concerned. Now I will make you an offer." "Let us hear it," they said. "You may see it," said he. "It is this." And he drew forth the Arkenstone and threw away the wrapping. The Elfin King himself, whose eyes were used to things of wonder and beauty, stood up in amazement. Even the Bard gazed, marvelling at it in silence. It was as if a globe had been filled with moonlight and hung before them in a net woven of the glint of frosty stars. "This is the Arkenstone of Thrain," said Bilbo, "the heart of the mountain, and it is also the heart of Thorin. He values it above a river of gold. I give it to you. It will aid you in your bargaining." Then Bilbo, not without a shudder, not without a glance of longing, handed the marvellous stone to Bard, and he held it in his hand as though dazed. "But how is it yours to give?" he asked at last with an effort. Well, said the hobbit uncomfortably, "it isn't exactly, but, well, I am willing to let it stand against all my claim. Don't you know? I may be a burglar, or so they say. Personally, I never really felt like one, but I am an honest one. I hope, more or less, anyway. I'm going back now, and the dwarves can do what they like to me. I hope you will find it useful." The Elfin King looked at Bilbo with a new wonder. "Bilbo Baggins," he said, "you are more worthy to wear the armour of elf princes than many that have looked more comely in it. But I wonder if Thorin Oakenshield will see it so. I have more knowledge of dwarves in general than you have, perhaps. I advise you to remain with us, and here you shall be honoured and thrice welcomed." "Thank you very much, I am sure," said Bilbo with a bow, "but I don't think I ought to leave my friends like this, after all we have gone through together, and I promised to wake old Bomba at midnight too. Really, I must be going, and quickly." Nothing they could say would stop him, so an escort was provided for him, and as he went, both the king and the bard saluted him with honour. As they passed through the camp, an old man, wrapped in a dark cloak, rose from a tent door where he was sitting and came forwards then. "Well done, Mr. Baggins," he said, clapping Bilbo on the back. "There is always more about you than anyone expects." It was Gandalf. For the first time for many a day, Bilbo was really delighted, but there was no time for all the questions that he immediately wished to ask. "All in good time," said Gandalf. "Things are drawing towards the end now, unless I am mistaken. There is an unpleasant time just in front of you, but keep your heart up. You may come through all right. There is news brewing that even the ravens have not heard. Good night." Puzzled but cheered, Bilbo hurried on. He was guided to a safe ford and set across dry, and then he said farewell to the elves and climbed carefully back towards the gate. Great weariness began to come over him, but it was well before midnight when he clambered up the rope again. It was still where he had left it. He untied it and hid it, and then he sat down on the wall and wondered anxiously what could happen next. At midnight he woke up Bomba, and then in turn rolled himself up in his corner. Without listening to the old dwarf's thanks, which he felt he had hardly earned, he was soon fast asleep, forgetting all his worries till the morning. As a matter of fact, he was dreaming of eggs and bacon.